Hello and welcome to Goatlandia, Grumpy, Old, Aged, Teachers, Landia. This is the podcast where I, John Samuelson, maybe that should be my new name, John Samuelson. I was John Samuelson for the last podcast in honor of Cashley Williams. And my neighbor down south, his name is?
Scott Bedley, S-C-O-T-T. E-A-C-H on the Twitters.
There's the sound effects.
And I'm kind of, I feel like I'm a part-time Portland, like, local now, John.
No, I mean, I don't know why we couldn't have done this while you were actually just here, but we waited until you left, because that's the only workflow I know. John Spencer does a flow session at IPDX. I don't know any flow other than the one that I'm stuck in right now. And how would we Google Hangout if we were in the same room? I don't know.
I know, right on. It would be really hard.
It's difficult for me to figure these things out as a tech person. I don't know. But yeah, we could have done it, but we didn't. I think I was tired. That's why I'm old.
No, you know, there's so much energy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of old,
Tim Bedley, he's old.
I was voxing this at you. I just, you know, after there's such a high a conference like that, so much energy, amazing conversations. I mean, what Darren and OETC did for that conference is incredible. There's like naturally, you're just exhausted because so much energy is in it and from it, and there's got to be a little bit of a lull afterwards, so like a recovery almost.
Is that where you're at right now?
I'm trying to build back up, but you know, John, you know what doesn't help you build your energy back up?
I know what you're gonna say, but go ahead and say it.
Not Flowbee. Report cards.
I actually did not know what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say doing report cards.
Yeah, doing report cards does not build up your energy. I'll tell you that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and read the promo for Flowbee real quick?
I think it's your week, John.
Okay. Well, that's good. I don't have the Google. Unfortunately, the Google Docs app is out of Hangouts now. So this is since Victoria Olson and I were the only ones that used it, supposedly. I'm going to have to complain to Sean Williams, but
I thought about using it a few times.
Right. I thought about using it too. And I did. That way I don't have to see my big fat face, which I'm looking at right now. So Flowbee, get a clean haircut. I have not obviously used my Flowbee, which is why I've put on this disgusting baseball hat, but that should be a for Flowbee right there. That's a testament to it. If I had used my Flowbee this morning, I wouldn't have to wear this disgusting baseball hat. So that's their new slogan, Flowbee, stop disgusting baseball hats, cut your hair, and look like a real person. Get in the real world, get the same clean, crisp haircut every time. Flowbee, at a store near you, as seen on TV. There you go.
Stop hat head now.
That's right. That could be hashtag stop hat head. Have we advised them on their marketing, their social media marketing strategies yet? Maybe we should. Maybe we should put some hashtags for them.
We probably should.
Yeah, let's get on that.
Like in our spirit. Edu hat head? How's that? Edu hat head?
Hey, I was Edu Ubered this weekend.
Tell me about that. What do you mean?
Oh my gosh. Do you know the, all right, ready for this? I'm getting it ready. All right, so here we go. I'm getting the sound effect ready. I'm going to tell you who I dropped off at the airport on Friday after IPDX, and then you tell me if that isn't a who's who of edgy famous celebrities that I've never even seen before. Ready? First one, at Tossfair, which is actually your alias.
That does not deserve an edgy famous gong, John.
Okay, and then after that, Ben Wilkoff. Who is at BH Wilkoff.
That does.
And in the same car, this was all in the same car, Lynn Hilt.
Gosh.
Who I met for the first time, who seems very nice. And she will be on an upcoming Techlandia, but we don't talk about that stuff.
So, John, you pocket. Chauffeured and I carried their bags.
That's right. That's right. That we did. And then Diane Main. after that, after I took her to Powell's Bookstore, and then as the nightcap, Sarah to teacher. Five edufamous people in one car going to the same place at different times during the day.
And I almost went Teen Wolf on that car.
You did. We would have had to if Diane had ridden with us the first run. And in the car was Kurt Reese's luggage.
That is a famous bag. That's gone to some pretty amazing conferences.
There's some travel on that bag. You know where he doesn't travel, though? Milwaukee. Kurt Reese, as I'm not talking about Techlandia, Kurt Reese will be a special guest on the podcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tune in for the return of Kurt Reese. We're waiting on the return of Allison Anderson. Scott, it will never happen.
Gosh, I would pay to see that one, actually, John.
Where's Allison Anderson? Where's Ted Rosisi?
I would pay to see that one.
She knows speak to Mimi.
So here's IPDX. I've never been before. Mm-hmm. Every session I go to that's Allison sitting in, the presenters would stop and go, "Hey, Allison, tell us how you'd use this tool." Allison knows, like, she knows everything. Amazing. Like,
Allison's she's a doer. She's not just like, "Here's this thing, I kind of know about it." She'll use it and try it out. That's what I love about her. I try to do that. I think she's better at it than I am, but
I literally, like, she was talking in Sarah's presentation. Sarah was like having a conversation with her. It was fantastic. And both of those two together are like incredible. Coach K, Kelly Kermode, thank you. She had a whole part of the presentation where Allison was included in it. It was like, Allison is legit. Coach K, by the way, talk about, and Sarah, those two sessions were just awesome, like really amazing.
They're legit. That's what I like about PDX. Every year, you know how sometimes you get that big buildup on something, like somebody says, kind of like I'm doing actually for you right now, and I would love to do this podcast with you at some point. You're going to watch the movie Boyhood, and then we're going to talk about it and how it relates to teaching. Okay? Right. But you know how somebody built – now I've built it up so much that you're going to be let down. But the IPDX conference, every year I build it up in my mind, and I'm thinking, okay. And it meets or exceeds my expectations every time.
Yeah, I can see why. I mean – again, they do, you know, and what I noticed compared to other conferences is that at IPDX, they focus first on relationship and building these opportunities for you to create relationships with the other teachers. And that, from that springs these incredible conversations. And I think that's one of the powerful tools that they have that you can't have at a boat show, right, John?
Yeah, that's right. The boat shows. You can't do it. There's too much distraction at a boat show.
Yeah, my head's on a swivel at those things. I'm just I can't even focus long enough to have a good conversation.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because then, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting topic. I'm sure we'll beat that drum some other time. Here, wait, let me get the drum. We'll beat the drum of the boat shows at some point too. But we're gonna go pretty soon to the boat show, right?
Speaking of beating the drums.
Okay.
Right now, Tim Bedley. Mm-hmm.
Double clock.
He is doing 1,000-pound squats right now.
I was going to say push-ups, but yes, he probably is. Thank goodness we're taping a new show for him. It's been almost 2 weeks. It has been 2 weeks, Scott, since we've done a new Grumpy Teachers.
Wow, it's just way too long, John.
It is way too long. We've got so much to complain about. It was funny because Ben Wilkoff came in and I saw him and I said, he's like, "Oh, how's it going, John?" I'm like, "Hey, I can't complain." And he looked at me, he's like, "But you will, right?" And I said, "You're darn skippy, I will." Oh my gosh. And then just thinking about like Tim Lauer, going out to eat with Tim Lauer. Gong it up. Tim Lauer, a man, a myth, a legend. It got so bad, Scott, that at the end, after you left on the Ed Camp day, I just like meandered in for like an hour and grabbed some free orange juice and lemonade and left and just said goodbye. I was like, I don't even want to hear any more technology stuff. I don't want to learn.
But wait a second. They were having like rock, paper, scissor competitions at Camp PDX, right?
Right.
That's all I saw is I saw Melissa Lim's like picture, I think, on Instagram of people playing rock, paper, scissors, I believe, or doing push-ups, one of the two. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, no, that was Tim Bedley. Father Time. Oh, man. It's gotten so bad that Tim Bedley has now gotten into a Voxer conversation with him. By the way, I would like to thank Voxer for finally following me. How long have I been talking and getting people onto Voxer? A million years since it's been at least a decade I've been talking to them about Voxer, and they finally followed me. And I thought, you don't even know how many times I've encouraged people to chat. Oh my gosh, Voxer, get your
They should be shipping you some T-shirts right now, right, John?
Right, they should give me free premium at least. I pay my $2.99 a month, you jerks. You know what, Voxer, if I see you at the Q conference, we're squaring off. I'm going to be like, who are they giving these, like, I hear all about these people getting free stuff. Ooh, we're Voxer, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
I should go get my Voxer t-shirt on because I really love the people over at Voxer.
I don't know them, but you know what? If I ever meet them, I'm going to smack them.
Hey, listen. Speaking of getting smacked, that's probably what's going to happen to both of us out at the Q conference from
Tim Bedley. Father Tim. Well, no, I'm going to carry his walker around for him. He's going to pay me $10, so he might make me do it for free now.
He wears leg weights at Q, by the way. He puts those ankle ones, those Velcro things on just so he can get extra workout while he's there.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's working. Those calves of steel.
But I was in a Google Hangout with him yesterday and Brent Coley, who, if you don't know Brent, he's just an awesome, he's one of those awesome principals. Tim's legit, man. Every time I talk to that guy, he blows me away. And, you know, as much as we joke around on here, right, John, it's like, you've got to tease the ones that are like years ahead of you. Not only in knowledge, but in.
Yeah, age, time, wisdom. You know, I was going to say, I'm not joking. When I shook Tim Bedley's hand last year, I cried for a week. Oh, my goodness.
It's because so, he likes onions.
I know. It's so great to be in a Voxer with the both of you, I tell you. That's funny. Yeah, by the way, I'm gonna go. Yeah, he did. He shared a music choice, didn't he?
He did.
That was actually really awesome. We should share that later on. So, you know what I did? All right, so we'll keep talking. We'll actually talk about something a little bit. So, I really liked this dude at PDX, DK.
Yeah.
And it's not BK like Burger King, because that's where I go to work out. I go to Burger King and do Whopper curls. But DK, and I went to his first session, and then I went to the keynote, and I got the chance. He stayed there the whole time. Got the chance to talk to him a little bit more. So I've, in his honor, I started, and he's kind of like a fan of just like curate stuff, and get stuff out there.
Remix too, right?
Yeah, it was cool. So I started my Tumblr, and Sunday is like my notorious day to surf around and get stuff done a little bit. And so, I've just started kind of like, instead of moving stuff around and going here's Pinterest, here's Leslie or whatever, I've really just kind of started with this blog and, of course, named it after a famous Beastie Boy lyric and then just went with it. And, yeah, so I put it out there. Simon Miller followed it, so that was good. And that one girl that we met, she followed it too. So there we go.
That's awesome. Yeah. And what if people do sign up for that? What can they expect? That's easy for me to say, by the way.
Right. So I don't know. Well, I started by it, like, normally what I would do. Okay. Now this is my. warped workflow is, because there are a lot of things. Like, I've got a million tabs open. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at that, seeing if this will work. I'm making little notes. I would use Slack, which is our communication tool between my team, there's something called the Slack bot. And then what it does is it basically just saves notes for you, so I can type stuff in or look at these links later. Right. So instead of doing that right now, all I'm doing is I'm just putting it into the Tumblr. And I'm like, okay, here's the five people I talked to about coming on to Techlandia that agreed to it. So instead of like forgetting about it later on, I just put it in real quick to the Tumblr and said, okay, these guests agreed to be on Techlandia, typed a little note, put that up there. I was working on a coding site earlier today that looks like it runs through building a web page with you and teaching you HTML skills. So I went through the first lesson of that. I was actually in the middle of the second lesson when you buzzed me to come on do a hangout real quick.
Get grumpy.
To get grumpy. And I can imagine that I'll put like cool videos and pictures, and just like, it's just like anything that I find that's halfway, you know, not halfway decent, but I think that is decent. I won't overpost to it, but I'm just going to keep sharing that stuff out there. Kind of like, this is me surfing. Here's what I found. Okay, I'm done. Here I come back 2 days later. I've got some time. Here's me surfing. Here's some cool websites. Here's an app I found. I found a couple cool apps too. I have to tell you this. There's this one called Meerkat where you can live stream on Twitter, and it looks really awesome. And I saw the guy from Product Hunt that is in charge of Product Hunt, Ryan Hoover. I saw he was just walking down the street and testing it out a little bit. And there was like 130 people watching it. But he's just like, here, I'm walking down the street in San Francisco. But how great would that have been if it would have been before PDX and you could have put 5-minute snippets of like that keynote, that Lee Graves Wolf keynote at the end, you know, just people doing some stuff. That's a pretty cool tool. It's a combination like live stream Voxer almost.
Google Glass.
Not Google Glass. Yeah, and there's no AR involved in this one. So sorry, people. No AR. Oh, man, so funny. You know what was the best ever was when we went to Tim Lauer's house for pizza on Friday night. And we were playing.
Yeah, that's a double gong.
Double gong.
Just for the house is one gong.
Right, exactly. The pizza is the second. So we played Cards Against Humanity for the second year in a row.
Haven't heard of it. What is that?
Oh, my God. Have you never heard of Cards Against Humanity?
John.
I know you
played last year at Q.
So why did you sent me one? You sent me like a good card combination. Were you just sensing that we were playing it right then? How did you know that we were playing it when you texted me that picture, or were you playing it?
I was my fear of missing out. I was watching the Instagram feed and seeing people posting pictures of Tim Lauer's, you know, his famous dining room table there, and. Yeah. All the edgy famous sitting around the table enjoying a game of Cards Against Humanity. So I thought, hey, I'll send over a possible combination for John, see if I can help him win one. Because yeah, you know how great did I do on Apples to Apples. So
Yeah, we did. We killed it on that one. We won the first two, both of us.
Yeah.
And then we were out for a long time after that. Then it was like all the ones in between we lost. So Cards Against Humanity was great, and then we amped it up just a notch for the Edufamous, and we did one card at the end after we finished two rounds, and we put in Twitter handles of people.
Oh.
Try that at your next party. That's where I wish I could have meerkatted you some of the stuff that was being said, but that would have got us in trouble. But
I would have been confused the whole time, John, because I don't remember anybody's Twitter handle.
That's all I remember, people's Twitter handles. Why am I so warped like that? And I don't even – Allison kept looking at me, and she's like, John, did you see that? She's like, why aren't you on Twitter? And I said, I told you I'm not on Twitter anymore. It's not fun, not as fun anymore for me. So –
I have a feeling Twitter's going to make a comeback.
You think?
No.
I don't either. I don't either. It's kind of like Facebook for me. It's jumped the shark, you know, the Facebook stuff. Which brings an interesting one that I saw today. Okay, I didn't prep you on this one, Scott, but we never prep for this show anyway.
So, let me check the notes. Hold on.
Yeah, check the notes. Oh, wait, we don't have Google Docs. in Drive, and we don't make a Google Doc. So here's an interesting one that I saw on Reddit today. Southern Oregon School said, and the headline was, school rethinks severe punishment for tardiness after this picture gets 50,000 comments on Facebook or something. All right, so and there's got to be so much more to the story. That was such shoddy journalism with, like, even like the headline. I was like, okay, right, that's what happened. But it was a kid kind of sitting off in the distance in a lunchroom with one of those study carol, like little prop up study carols around him.
Right.
And that's what it was. And
wait, a study carol? I'm not familiar with that term. It must be.
Have you not seen have you not used study carols before?
Well, we use like cardboard offices, like.
Okay, so right, cardboard office. We used to call them study. Well, I'm from. Well, you're just as old as I am. Study carol. You know, they used to make them for people, like where they would make them. Like it would be a desk, and it'd be the three walls around you.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Did you really not hear of the word study carol? Have you heard of that before?
No, I honestly have never heard that term. Okay. Well, I may have heard that term, I just don't remember it.
Okay, so that's what we in the Midwest, that's what we used to call them, study carols. In SoCal, they would call them cardboard things. So,
John, I still think a Basil Reader is like a cookbook. So,
Basil Reader. So, oh my gosh, don't even get me started on Basil. All right. So, anyway, so that was the thing. And this kid's got some I can see in the picture. The kid's got some books in his hands, like under the table.
Right.
Like obviously there could be way more to this story than meets the eye. And the parent swears or the grandparent swears he was 1 minute late and this is what they do to him. Yeah. And I'm not condoning putting kids in a big cardboard thing and putting them like five tables away and ostracizing them from everyone at lunchtime, probably missing his recess, which I know is your probably favorite punishment in the world. But yeah, it just seemed really interesting. And I said, there's so much that could have gone on here. And that's why I hate Facebook. It's like, oh, people are just going to be like, oh, my gosh, those teachers, look at them torturing this kid. I'm like, I am sure that they did not put him in a little cardboard like thing five tables away from everybody because he was 1 minute late and it was his parents' fault.
And you John, know, you know what that reminds me of? I hope not, first of all.
Right. I hope not too.
And if they are doing that, then somebody does need to call them out on it. But yeah. It reminds me of DK's keynote. Do you remember the part?
Yes.
He posted the picture of these like six kids sitting on a bench. And I think there was like a Monet or Renoir or something, some famous painting in the background. And they're mm-hmm. all on their phones. And it was posted like bashing this generation.
Right.
And then you look at the Twitter feed below that. And you see the actual photo of what was happening prior to that. Mm-hmm. And then all the kids were around, sitting around the painting, learning about it. And then their job was to go and write about it and use their phones to express their feelings, understanding, knowledge about this painting. But that single snapshot of them all sitting on the bench creates this perception that there's a generation of kids that could care less about this amazing art, which I don't think is true. That's not what I've seen from my students. And I would say in general, kids, when they're presented something in an engaging manner, they want to, all of us, when we're presented something in an engaging manner, we want to learn about it. But I thought it was really cool that he pointed something like that out. And that reminds me of that, that thing that hopefully there's more to the story. And if there's not, then they need to make some changes fast.
Right. And that's totally true. And then, right, they showed like the teachers having discussion and right in front of the painting, they're all sitting there paying attention.
Right.
And then the after is, okay, here, we're going to type up our notes or whatever we're going to do or whatever digital project they're trying to create on it then. And it's like, God, too much screen time in this generation. You're like, not so sure. Facebook syndrome, you know, it's how about okay, so I don't go on Facebook. I really don't. I just go on there a little bit for my Facebook page where I share.
You know who does go on Facebook a lot?
John Spencer. Mr. McNology.
I have no idea.
No, he does. He's a Facebook junkie. He's nice and smooth and funky. He's a Facebook junkie. yeah, I mean the dress thing. You see the dress thing?
Oh no, what do you mean dress thing?
I just saw that enough to know that I don't care.
John, it's blue. I do care. It's blue and black. So let's have it out right now, man. I know you think it's white and gold.
Oh, my gosh. Is that the choice? Blue and black or white and gold?
I don't know.
I'll take blue every time.
What's great is there's experts chiming in on it, you know, and this is like an important news. There's incredible things happening in our world, but we need to spend like hours of experts analyzing why people choose the different colors. Are you serious? I mean, seriously? Seriously, world?
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously, world? Let's start that.
World.
Hashtag seriously, world.
So blue and black is one of them. That reminds me of the famous Run DMC lyric.
Blue and black
because I likes to chill, but yellow and green when it's time to get ill. Got a pair that I wear when I'm playing ball with a heel inside, make me 10 feet tall. My Adidas always bring good news. I could keep going, but I won't. Little Run DMC for you right there. That's old school.
I'm going to confess, John, when I first saw it, I was talking to Jeff and Edmund over from BuzzMob.
Oh, okay.
And Jeff texted to me, and he's like, check this out. What color is it? And I'm like, blue and black. Mm-hmm. And Edmund's like, no, it's not. It's white and gold. I'm like, no, it's clearly blue and black. I'm looking at it right here. Look on my phone. They're looking at it, and they're like, no. And Jeff's like, I see both colors. And I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
We had about a five-minute conversation about it, and then we laughed and thought, you know, this is really ridiculous that it has. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that is pretty funny, though. What did you think of okay, and I'm really sad that at the end of the final keynote, the Lee Graves Wolf, that I missed, like, the beginning, like, this is your this is your mission kind of thing. And I sat down and I was being selfish and I was talking to someone else about my job. And I was trying to gain personal information as long as the person was right there. But how about that assembling of a book and getting everybody to do that? And I saw on her blog, and maybe I should put this in that little like web surfing thing that I have, but I saw on her blog that she kind of went over the 45 writing prompts that she gave to people how she did it, which I think I definitely want to try with a group of people the next time, you know, creating a totally curated book, like iBook or PDF or whatever. Yeah. Boom. Crowdsourced from the people that have gone through this conference for 3 days. How genius was that? I knew Darren liked that. She's from Michigan State University. I knew that Darren liked her and he's always raving about her, but yeah, just to see that, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
That was brilliant. I was blown away. I was like, I think I tweeted, you know, we just crowdsourced a book in 20 minutes too.
Right.
I don't know. I just sat down at a table with a bunch of people I didn't know from the conference. They were really kind to me. And we did our part towards that conference or towards that book, but it was really interesting for her to put us through and make us part of the experience rather than present at us, which, you know, I think all of us that were there and experienced that will not forget that moment, because she's like, what did you get out of doing this? Everyone's like, collaboration, teamwork, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I got a book out of it. Yeah. I was like, what? We just wrote a book.
And she's like, ha ha, joke's on you, fools. I got a book.
Yeah, now I don't have to publish anymore at Michigan. but no, she didn't say that. But it was amazing to be a part of that experience. I'm really thankful I got a chance to get up there and stuff like that. So Are we out of time? Do we do 30 minutes? Are we doing an hour show this time? I have no idea.
We just go until we stop, spatula. Okay. I don't know what else. Is there anything else you want to rant about? Our summary is, if you get a chance next year, and it sold out early this year, but Integrate Ed Conference in Portland in late February, last weekend in February, whatever it is. If you get the chance to come up, it is a good time. You leave feeling kind of overloaded with all the stuff that you learned. But I think the thing that I heard most is that you can go and see some cool like presentation workshops, and they pretty much all try to be hands-on as much as they possibly can. and they try for different topics. Like, what were some of the topics that you saw, Scott? I was trying to think.
I went into Diane Maynes was great. It was on workflow basically, and she was talking about Autocrat and how to use that. And but it was more of an interactive session where people were also sharing their ideas how they saw it being used. That was fantastic. Like Coach K, Kelly Kermode's was fantastic. I went into Ruben's with you, Ruben and Dan's presentation.
Oh, my gosh. Ruben's and Dan's on how to take better photographs. Really, really awesome. And then doing photo walks.
I mean, Sarah the teacher, her presentation was fantastic. I'm trying to think who else I went to. Just one experience after another. And then the hallway conversations. And then they gave you time to have those hallway conversations at the end of the conference before the keynote, which was fantastic as well. So
it's really good. How about the sushi belt we went to too? They feed you, but Scott and I went for option B and then went over to the sushi belt. That was good, right?
Yeah. I just get confused when they're passing me. I'm like, which one is that?
I feel like Yogi Bear. That was my first ever sushi belt. And I felt like Yogi Bear and it kept going. And I'm like, I'm not hungry. Well, maybe I am hungry. Look at that. There we go. Yeah. I'd like some edamame.
It's only a $2 plate, and then you're like, oh, I've got 40 plates in front of me now.
$60? What?
I just wanted a $10 lunch, that's all.
Well, in fairness to the place where I can't remember what its name was, it was $10 a piece, so.
Yeah, it was.
That's how much we spent.
Yeah.
And you know what? That sushi was courtesy of me to you. That was my gift to you for being on the podcast.
What podcast?
Oh, this one. But
okay, thanks.
No, Flobee actually paid for it. I took out the Flobee credit card.
I do appreciate that. That was really, I mean, and that's you. You're a giver, John.
Right. Bought you $10 worth of sushi. But yeah, that was pretty awesome. I
just know that's a lot more than
Mr. McNology
bought me for lunch, so.
Yeah, actually, I can't say that. I ate lunch with him at the table the first day. Usually I was going to say he's very notorious for ditching out on us for lunch. I think I'm going to make some shirts for next year. Remember # EdCamp Golden Horse. So,
who did he ditch out on lunch at that one for?
That was like a dinner, I think, actually, and he ditched out on all of us, and then we all just went over, and that was the night that we went to the same place that we played apples to apples afterwards. But yeah, we did a little pub crawl, I want to say, after the conference, and so it was good times.
The white and golden dress. Was that the
place? Right? I saw this dress. It could have been I didn't know that was a thing, or I would have put it on BuzzFeed 2 years ago. And gotten up my my Google Analytics. But I don't know. It was great, and I don't know. And then you come back. We've got to go to school tomorrow, and then report cards, right, Scott?
Yeah, report cards. I think the frustrating thing, and I saw this guy,
Tim Bedley,
talking about it on Twitter, and he was asking how many grades people have to input or how many marks people have to input on their report card and how valuable are those marks actually to parents. And I think we were settling at, most of the people were saying around, somewhere between 50 to 80 different marks, especially if you're self-contained like we are, fifth grade. And there's so many different marks that you have to put per student that I really wonder how much parents are actually getting out of all those marks and the amount of time that's going into them. Would I rather just have a week to just meet with parents and go over some of the assignments and assessments and those things and talk to them directly on how their kids are doing? Mm-hmm. I feel like I would rather than all this effort that goes into this paper. But, we've got to be held accountable as teachers, and it seems like that's a way to make sure we're doing our work, but not really, right?
That's our checks and balances.
Yeah. So it's frustrating, and you want to communicate to parents, but you're just like, really, they just look at the letter grade probably, or they want to set up a conference and talk to you about how their kids are doing. So,
yeah.
And none of the grades on there really say, hey, how's my kid doing with learning?
Right.
So
is he improving? I've seen some you know, whatever, some C's or some B minuses that were, you know, that C pluses, but the kid's really improving.
Yeah, and working, you know, and then, incredibly hard too to get there, and you're so proud of them for doing that. But then they get the C and they're almost discouraged that they weren't able to do it. It's like, gosh, these grades. Mm-hmm. I mean, I vividly remember a story from 2 years ago. This student of mine, he was just, you know, incredible kid, tried so much. He had a lot of things working against him. And I remember him getting his report card and just kind of like putting his hands over his face. And this was when I was departmentalized, so I didn't give him all his grades. But I remember just seeing him putting his hands over his face and physically like drop to his knees, John. And was like, what are we doing to kids? Like, these grades are just like, so can be so devastating sometimes to them emotionally and create this, really this hatred for learning in school, because the two are supposed to go hand in hand, right? It was just like, ah, oh, man, it just, it killed my spirit. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know how we can keep doing these things. Like, it's just brutal.
I know. I don't know. When is it going to change? I don't know.
Yeah, people are trying to do different things. It's just, that's such a one of those pillars, like homework, and, you know, that it's almost like sacred in a sense to education, that if you try to change it, it lasts very short, and then people fall back to those. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. I will say that one thing that I thought was pretty cool about one of the teachers that I know, great teacher, she got her classes, got 1-to-1 iPads, fourth grade class, week before winter break. And for these conferences, we used, and I'm not like I'm trying to be tool focused here, but when there's a good one, you should know about it. So an app called Seesaw, made by the Shadow Puppet EDU people, which I think is another great app for iPads. But Seesaw to build portfolios. So the kids were going in and creating, like, you can add video, you can add text, you can take a photo, you can add in your Google Docs. And so they were adding them in, and the kids were coming in to the conferences and then taking out their iPad and going through and showing their parents their portfolio that they chose. And wow. I thought that was and it's a free app. That's the thing. And so is Shadow Puppet EDU. So that's my little plug for them.
What's the name of the app again, John?
So it's called Seesaw.
Seesaw.
And Seesaw. And it has kind of like a little, it's got a white background with kind of some little, it might even be like, you might have to even search for Seesaw portfolios or something. But if you search for Shadow Puppet EDU, and there is Shadow Puppet regular too. Shadow Puppet EDU has better filters on it for videos, because if you want to grab some images, two free apps that I think are outstanding and helping education. And and if you talk to the Seesaw people, they're very responsive. You know, they love the feedback, and I do have some feedback for them, because it would be nice if we some of them were adding in too much to their portfolios, so we wanted them to kind of, the teacher can go in and delete them out, unless I haven't figured it out all the way. But it would be nice if they have a little toggle button where you could be like, the students, if they were fourth grade and you trusted them to delete, you could. Maybe I could see a first grader not wanting to delete stuff, you know, and the teacher wanting to take control. You know how it is. I like to give the students as much control as possible. So that's one of the things that we're having a harder time with. When you have a class of 27, you're trying to, you know, go through all their portfolios, and you'd like them to be able to clean it out and delete it. So we were having those discussions. But
I wonder if there's a way they could make it, and I haven't had any experience with Zabbit. I wonder if there's a way they could make it certain things hidden, so that when the teacher looks through it or a parent looks through it, all they see is the things that they're selecting that they're most proud of, but still have them like hidden in the background or something. No.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's not ridiculous. There's some good features out there. I mean, it does have parent sharing too, I think. So it's an interesting app as we get to use it. I mean, it really seriously just, I think, launched out in January. Like, it's been around in the App Store. And for some reason I found it, maybe just because I really like the Shadow Puppet storytelling app. But I saw they were making this one, so I downloaded it. They're like, yeah, we're kind of still going through the phase of seeing what everybody wants. But it's a great little dashboard. It's just like video, audio. If they took a picture, they can record their voice on it and kind of tell the story. If they have a picture, they can write a little caption of it. It's nice.
John, did you at IPDX, did you ever get into the goose chase?
I mean, I think I did 3 goose chases. I think that I was fun. I was just... You get so busy there. It's hard. I don't want to give myself more and go on a wild goose chase. But I snapped the picture of my food, which was one of them. And then I snapped a picture of myself with Hudgy Bear. But then I also got Hudgy Bear while I was eating. So I wonder if that could have been a whole bonus point thing going on. Because who else is nice enough to run up to someone while they're taking a bite of sandwich and then take a selfie? But me. And then he decked me afterwards. So yeah, I think the goose chase looks cool. I would like to try. I mean, wouldn't you think that would be cool for your class a little bit? I think that'd be kind of fun.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it'd be great. I can think of ways to use that on field trips. If you're going to like field trips at museums or different places like that, that you could potentially have the kids do like a photo goose chase there. I think there's some fun applications for that. I just haven't, you know. Besides there, I haven't used it, but...
Right, I hadn't seen it until then, but if you could make your own like that, I think that'd be pretty good. You know what? We just gave 3 apps. Like, we were old Techlandia from, like, you know, 2013.
Hey, John, are there anybody that you really met at IPDX that you'd like people should follow on Twitter?
Why, yes, here. Yeah, I mean, there were some good people I met. I'm very happy with the people I met. Every time you just keep like kind of adding over there, and then you start to see old friends that are, it's fun to see them for a while. Like, that's the only time I really get some FaceTime with Kurt Rees. So that's always a good thing, you know. And I told him even when he was leaving, I said, Kurt, I said, I know you're the awesome presenter of IPDX at IPDX, but if you don't get invited back next year, or, you know, whatever happens, I'm like, please make sure that you just still, this is our little, mine and Ted Rossisi, and it's our little weekend. That's what I want. I need a little weekend with Kurt Rees every once in a while. It's like some bad movie where they just keep coming back each year, and then we should make
and
that.
And you got the bearded Kurt Rees too, which is like even better.
Mm-hmm.
Like the winter bearded Kurt Rees.
I know. And then it must have been the snow in Wisconsin, but his eyes were even bluer in person.
or the Portland air, you know.
Yeah, the Portland air. You know who else has steely blue eyes? Father Time. What color are Tim's eyes?
They're actually green, John.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
That's a family trait.
Oh, wow. Father Time. Well, so I guess the next conference we have to look forward to is the Q conference, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hanging out again.
Yeah, we'll hang out again. It's good. I didn't even have to say goodbye to everybody too harsh and like shed tears, because a lot of my favorite people are California educators.
They're I was so crying cool. Walking through the airport, John. You were crying at all, man?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm crying right now actually too. Let me see if I can get that going. Uh-oh, this just in. My mom texted me. I just thought, my mom's been doing a good job, and I know she'll never listen to this podcast, but my mom's been doing a good job right now, just harassing me constantly for a while there. But yeah, I think she's laid off the last couple weeks. I was going to actually reward her with a phone call that she didn't ask for, but then she couldn't help it. It's time to text. She hadn't heard from me for 2 weeks. I might be like in a hospital or something. I think that's what my mom thinks. I don't know if she knows that I'm really, really old.
But not as old as?
Not as old as Father Time. Tim Bedley. That'll be cool. Well, so it'll be good to see you guys down there. And it's good to grump. We haven't grumped for
It is good. I want to keep grumping for another few hours, so we'll have to come back sooner and record another show.
We need
if
to
people
start
want to hear it. I don't know why anyone would want to listen to us grump, but I appreciate anyone that is listening for sure.
I mean, we've got to, I mean, we had the whole Travis Phelps Voxer conversation started, and it was, I just looked in my feed and it's Travis loves grumpy old teachers.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty funny. And then Travis started talking to us. So thank you, Travis. We appreciate we appreciate it. Anybody else wants to start up a Voxer that says, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know that there was one in my, I don't know if you just looked, but there's one that came in and it was Mr. Macnology hates grumpy old teachers. Quit talking about ditching you at lunchtime. And he didn't ditch me.
Hey, listen, for how much trash talking he did on me at IPDX, a little bit here he's going to have to take.
What? I know. What was up with that? He was trash talking you to no end. Every time I saw him, he's like fake punching you.
I deserve it, obviously. You know.
Well, Jeremy must be – he must have – I heard that there's a friend of his that he works with at Future Ready. And I heard, you know what? I can't believe I didn't tell you this story, but I heard that if you watch out, that Tom Murray will, before he goes on to present or whatever, Tom Murray of Future Ready will take a little 5-hour energy and just guzzle it and just start going to town. I think Jeremy might have taken a page out. He must have been guzzling some 5-hour energies and he was trying to like fight you and do some stuff.
I think he was just pumped on all his sessions. I get all amped up like that too when I'm presenting, and then when I'm wearing skinny ties that I made myself, I get pretty excited about that as well.
I know, I did like it. He was wearing Tim Bedley's skinny jeans too. I wonder if he went and borrowed him and his capri pants.
Hey, John.
This just in.
Tim Bedley is coming out with a new clothing line called Father Tim.
Father Tim. Coming to a story, it's like they're like Sergio Valente's for the 2010s.
John, this just in.
Yes.
George Michael and Tim Bedley are putting out a song. I will be your father, Tim.
Oh my God, we just jumped the shark on this one. You know, we had two viewers at one point for this show. Then we had none.
We scared them off.
Now we have one. Did I, for, not that we're supposed to talk about this, but on Techlandia the other day, we have the lovely and talented Amy Fadeji, and we did have California Ashley Williams, otherwise known as Cash Money. But we got some guy from Australia just coming in and making totally inappropriate comments in the Q&A.
Really?
Oh, he started appropriate, and then he just took it way downhill. Oh my gosh, I was embraced.
That's
embarrassed. That's what I used to say. I'd be like, oh, I'm so embraced. I mean, embarrassed.
That's a bummer.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I don't know. Well, at least he thought they were was complimentary of their looks. I guess is the positive. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for Tim and I, we would be thankful if we got one question alone in the Q&A.
And we usually get questions on Techlady. It's like, why are you doing this? What is this?
Am I allowed to plug a Bedley Brothers show at this point?
Yes, yeah, so you go ahead, because I've only plugged Techlandia like 80 million times.
Well, this is a Techlandia. It is Goatlandia.
That's right, it is.
We're going to be having the New York Times best-selling Newbery, like, I mean, she's won a million awards. She's coming back on our show. We love her to death. She is
Sharon
amazing.
Draper?
Yes, yeah, Sharon Draper.
I was just saw her at Powell's Bookstore. I just was like, I saw one of. I'm just like, God, Sharon Draper is good. I forgot that she wrote this book, and they had it out as like one of the classics at Powell's. And I thought, yeah, Scott's hit her on the show.
She's coming on for the third time, and she just has a new book out called Stella by Starlight. So she's going to be talking about the new book and how it's inspired, and you know, maybe some thoughts of how people could use it in their classrooms. But gosh, every time that I think like I get to talk to her, I'm always blown away, because if you read her bio and you read all the things she's accomplished in her life, it's just like, wow, this lady is amazing. So Yeah, that should be coming up in a couple of weeks.
Well, that'll be awesome. When I mean, to have the author give ideas for what how you could use it in the classroom, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, and she's a former teacher, so just coming from that perspective is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. What was the Kickstarter she did that one time that didn't ever pan out for her? What was she trying to do on that Kickstarter?
She wanted to highlight good teaching, and so she wanted to do a video.
Oh, wait, well, that, say no more. That's why that failed.
No, she wanted to do a movie, which, and I thought it was a really great idea, showing like three or four different teachers through their day and what their experience is like. And how they and why they are as loved and respected and do such an amazing job as they do. Not just that it's, you know, you hear about these great teachers, but actually seeing what they're doing and really trying to trumpet and say, hey, teachers are superstars. They're superheroes in a sense. They're doing all this like ridiculous amount of work for not a lot of pay. They are making it happen. Yeah, they're making it happen. Regardless of all of those, the challenges and things they face. And she really believes in teachers of so many people that we've talked to. She is incredibly strong in her belief of teaching and teachers out there. So
that's cool. Reminds me of the last teaching movie I saw where one of my favorite people in the world, Michelle Rhee, goes and sits in the back of the classroom and starts talking to the students saying, do you like this teacher? Michelle Rhee, keep it going. Keep it up, sister. Keep up the positivity.
Hey, John, anyone coming from Texas to Q?
Well, we do. We have one person coming from Texas that I know of, and she is award-winning. But just because I gave her the award personally, though, Tracy Clark, 08.
Okay, so like, hey, if there's anybody out there that's going to be at Q, make sure to say hi to Tracy, right?
That's right. Say hi to Tracy. She's actually, I think she's trying to get to California because we've talked a few times about how cool the people are. So I think she wants to expand the PLN, as we call it.
Nice.
The Personal Learning Network, expanded a little bit. By the way, here's a maybe we should do this. This could be our closing bit for Grumpy Old Teachers every week. Here is a helpful tip from Michelle Rhee. Remember, if you want your standardized test scores to go up, just go in after they're done, find out the answers, erase them, and change their answers to the correct one. It worked for her, and now she's famous. That was a helpful standardized testing tip from Michelle Rhee.
I'm not even to touch that one, John.
You know what? Also, a Californian, remember, another helpful tip from Michelle Rhee, if you want to expand your profile, just remember to marry the mayor of Sacramento. Ex-NBA player Kevin Johnson, Michelle Rhee's wife. You know what else, else is in common about Kevin Johnson? I actually sat and watched the Final Four with basketball player Kevin Johnson. If I would have known, I would have... At the time, I would have said, don't marry Michelle Rhee, dude. Don't do it. She's just using you. So anyway, there's my tip. And then see, there's the grumpiness right there. You can see when I get those high political figures. Oh, man. Don't get me started. I'll be grumpy.
Hey, John, how long is this episode now?
All right. Let's see. Survey says too long. You should stop.
I will say this. We do need to plug our other sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. You do the Chia Pet.
Chia Pet. Find your Chia Pet near you at the one and only Walgreens.
Rite Aid.
What's that pantry thing up there in Oregon? They're carrying
it. Oh, yeah. Plaid Pantry.
Plaid Pantry. That's right. Plaid Pantry. And they have them in... You know what? They're just expanding. They have two new Edufamous Chia Pets. John,
okay.
Tell us who they are.
Well, this just in, new Chia Pets include Arnie Duncan and Michelle Rhee, of all people.
I heard rumors that Arnie Duncan might be a Q.
What? Wait, what? Are you serious?
He's going to sweep your leg there, John.
Oh, there'll be some leg sweeping, but it won't be by Arnie. This is my chance. Oh my gosh. All right, I gotta go to work out like Tim Bedley, Father Tim. See, now I wish I had taken his advice and actually gotten off the couch for a couple minutes.
We need like the Rocky theme and John like running down the Portland streets.
I'll make a video of me training to come
studying and studying the like Common Core and
hey Arnie. Whoops. Just push him. You know what I'm gonna do? Okay, well, we've got two roles to play in this. If we see Arnie Duncan, I will either get behind him and, like, on my all fours, and you can push him over me.
No, I am not going to touch
the person that gets on all fours. Just act like you dropped a quarter, and then I'll push him over you.
John.
Arnie Duncan. Arnie, why didn't you play in the basketball game this year?
Secret Service is now like cutting this feed right now.
Does Arnie Duncan even need Secret Service? I mean, come on now, please.
Yes, that to protect him from you.
No, that would be smart, but no. If I saw Arnie Duncan, I would walk up to him and shake his hand.
Would you?
Mm-hmm. And then I would say, you're a great basketball player. I'd be positive. I'd be like, you know what? You're a great basketball player. Not much about education, but great basketball player. Kevin Hart should not have gotten MVP over you for those years. I was voting for you on the Sprint telephone line. Because he's great. He's a good basketball player. All right. That's how we got to end it. So thank you, Chia Pet. Thank you, Floby. Thank you to @TossFair, who is really AKA @ScottTeach. Thank you very much for taking the time and taking a report card break.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Anything to avoid doing report cards.
That's right. Now I guess I've got to go back to work, which I was actually cleaning and doing laundry.
Well, you that's gotta be productive at least.
Yeah, that's productive. Meanwhile, I haven't taken a shower for like 3 days, so I better step up on that a little bit. So.
You're anyway, trying to save water for California, and we really appreciate it.
That's right. Poor California. I feel like I should just get some buckets and leave them outside my house and like
bring some down, yeah. That cube, bring us some water.
Yeah,
it's really bad down here. Although we're getting kind of rainy-ish weather today.
Oh, okay. It's actually pretty nice outside in my window.
Wow.
Even though you can't see it, that's for those of people that are usually in Portland. That's called sunlight. Well, thanks everybody for joining us again, and we will catch you on the flip side.